Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
You mentioned the Biden administration trying to prevent white nationalists from being in the military. Do you believe they should allow white nationalists in the military?
Well, they call them that. I call them Americans.
Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville is under fire for supporting white nationalists in the U.S. military. We'll speak to former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, who once prosecuted Ku Klux Klan members for blowing up the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham in 1963, killing four young girls. We'll look at extremism in the military and in the offices of Congress. Then we get an update from human rights advocates just back from the U.S.-Mexico border as the Trump-era Title 42 policy ends.
We are seeing thousands of people coming to the border with the hope of crossing. Confusing information and the announcement of an even stricter prohibition on asylum has increased fears and anxieties, causing people to lose hope of a life without violence and reuniting with their family on the other side.
We'll speak to Amnesty International, the Haitian Bridge Alliance, and Al Otro Lado, all that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Sudan, military forces unleashed airstrikes near a hospital in the capital, Khartoum, on Monday, targeting paramilitary rivals as fighting between the warring parties enters a second month. Airstrikes and shelling were reported in other cities in recent days, including intense battles in the western region of Darfur and in the cities of Bahri and Omdurman. The UN estimates some 200,000 people have fled Sudan to neighboring countries since the war erupted in April, the vast majority of those displaced being women, children, many of whom are malnourished. Hundreds of people who've escaped the violence in the capital to relatively safe cities like Port Sudan now face shortages of food, water, and shelter as extreme heat hits the region.
People, they don't like us to be here. And now the way we are here with the children and the mothers, some of them are sick, and some of them, there's no food people they can eat. So we are suffering.
Over 600 people have reportedly died since the beginning of the conflict, though the death toll is expected to be much higher. The prominent Sudanese singer, Shaden Gardoud, was killed in crossfire between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces in Omdurman City Friday, despite an agreement between the two sides to protect civilians. Meanwhile, there's been multiple reports of women and girls being sexually assaulted by armed groups. In Somalia, the United Nations says some 450,000 people in the central Hiran region have been displaced by flash flooding caused by torrential rains. At least 22 people have died. This comes after a record drought in Somalia left millions of Somalis on the brink of famine. China's government has issued heat advisories in the capital, Beijing, and other major cities as temperatures reach record highs for the date. In North America, an early season heat wave has smashed high temperature records along the west coast of Canada and the United States, with Seattle and Portland reporting record highs for several days in a row. On Monday, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau visited Alberta province, where an intense early start to the wildfire season has forced tens of thousands of people to evacuate and slashed oil production in Canada's tar sands region. In the United States, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned Monday the U.S. remains on track to default on its debts as soon as June 1st unless congressional leaders agree to a deal raising the limit on the national debt. Her warning came as House Republican leaders rejected White House proposals to close tax loopholes as part of any deal to raise the debt ceiling. The proposals sought to collect more tax revenue from cryptocurrency transactions and from large real estate investors. President Biden said Sunday he's optimistic lawmakers will reach a deal by June 1st, an idea shot down Monday by Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
So, no, I don't think we're in a good place. I know we're not. This ignoring the problem, thinking it's going to go away, he could bumble his way just into a default like he did on the border.
The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case that could see South Carolina reinstate a congressional redistricting plan that was struck down by a lower court as an attempt at racist gerrymandering. In January, a three-judge panel of the Federal District Court in Columbia, South Carolina, ruled unanimously state Republicans unfairly drew maps that split black neighborhoods in Charleston, leading to the exile of more than 30,000 African-American citizens from their previous districts. In Washington, D.C., Special Counsel John Durham has completed his investigation into the FBI's probe of Russian interference in the 2016 Trump campaign. Durham's 300-plus page report concluded the FBI should never have launched its investigation, which Durham said was based largely on leads provided by political opponents of Donald Trump and relied heavily on, quote, raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated intelligence, unquote. The report does not recommend any major changes to FBI and Justice Department policies. Durham was appointed special counsel in 2019 by then Attorney General Bill Barr after Barr referred to the FBI's court-authorized activities as spying. In New York, a $10 million lawsuit filed Monday against former New York City mayor and Donald Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani alleges Giuliani raped and harassed a former associate over the span of 2 years. The suit was filed by Noelle Dunphy, who says Giuliani hired her in 2019, promising an annual salary of $1 million, but instead repeatedly sexually assaulted her. She also accuses Giuliani of being constantly drunk, making racist and sexist remarks and anti-Semitic comments, many of which were recorded. Giuliani also allegedly plotted to sell pardons for $2 million, the lawsuit alleges, to be split between him and former President Donald Trump, who was giving the pardons, and asked Dunphy to refer anyone who needed one. In New Mexico, three people were killed and six others injured in the community of Farmington Monday morning when an 18-year-old armed with an AR-15-style assault rifle and two other guns went on a rampage, firing randomly as he walked through a neighborhood before he was shot dead by police. Investigators say they're still searching for a motive and haven't released the names of the dead and wounded. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said in a statement, quote, "This serves as yet another reminder of how gun violence destroys lives in our state and our country every single day," she said. According to the Gun Violence Archive, it was the 225th mass shooting in the United States so far this year. Vice Media has filed for bankruptcy less than a month after laying off over 100 workers across its global newsroom. A group of company lenders, including Soros Fund Management, has submitted a bid of $225 million to purchase Vice's assets, while remaining operations are expected to keep running. The media company was once considered to be worth $5.7 billion. In April, Vice canceled its award-winning weekly show Vice News Tonight and shut down its international news unit, Vice World News. And a warning to our audience, our last headline contains graphic footage of violence. San Francisco's district attorney said Monday she will not bring charges against a security guard who shot and killed 24-year-old black trans activist Banco Brown last month after he allegedly tried to steal snacks from a Walgreens pharmacy. The announcement came as the DA's office released surveillance video of the killing. It shows the guard repeatedly punching Brown, slamming him to the floor, and lying on top of him. After Brown flees the store, the guard pulls out a handgun and fires a single fatal shot directly into Brown's chest. District Attorney Brooke Jenkins on Monday called the killing reasonable.
What he said was, "I saw a movement that led me to believe something dangerous was about to happen to me. Could have been a knife. Could have been whatever it was, I believed that I was in imminent danger." And the law doesn't require that you wait and see, is it a gun, is it a knife, is it scissors? The law allows you to have a perception and a belief so long as it's reasonable.
Brooke Jenkins was appointed San Francisco's interim district attorney last July by Mayor London Breed, replacing former progressive DA Chesa Boudin, who was ousted by voters in a multi-million-dollar funded special recall election led by the real estate industry. Jenkins received over $100,000 as a consultant for a nonprofit that led efforts to recall Boudin. Banco Brown's killing has ignited protests across the San Francisco Bay Area, where nearly half of all residents live in families listed as low income or very low income. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville is coming under fire after expressing support for white nationalists in the U.S. military. Tuberville made the comments last week while talking to WBHM, an NPR affiliate in Alabama.
We are losing in the military so fast our readiness in terms of recruitment. And why? I can tell you why. Because the Democrats are attacking our military, saying we need to get out the white extremists, the white nationalists, people that don't believe in our agenda as Joe Biden's agenda. They're destroying it.
You mentioned the Biden administration trying to prevent white nationalists from being in the military. Do you believe they should allow white nationalists in the military?
Well, they call them that. I call them Americans.
I call them Americans. In an attempt to walk back his comments, Senator Tuberville told a reporter at NBC, quote, "I look at a white nationalist as a Trump Republican." Listen carefully.
I look at a white nationalist as a Trump Republican. That's what we're called all the time. A mega person. That's what
Do
I'm
you
just.
You agree that, with that
well,
assumption?
I agree that we should not be characterizing Trump supporters as white nationalists.
Senator Chuck Schumer blasted Tuberville's remarks, describing them as utterly revolting. The controversy comes as President Biden told graduates at Howard University Saturday, white supremacy is a poison and the, quote, most dangerous terrorist threat in the country. Meanwhile, on Sunday, members of the white supremacist group Patriot Front marched along the National Mall in Washington, D.C., carrying shields and battle drums. Senator Tommy Tuberville was already facing criticism for blocking nearly 200 military promotions to protest a Pentagon policy, which covers paid leave for workers who have to travel out of state to get an abortion. Tuberville remains a major backer of Donald Trump. Last week, he decried the New York jury that unanimously found Trump had sexually assaulted and defamed E. Jean Carroll. Tuberville said the jury's decision, quote, makes me want to vote for him twice. We're joined now by former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, a Democrat who served in the Senate from 2018 to 2021. He lost to Tuberville in the 2020 election. Jones is also a former U.S. attorney who successfully prosecuted two Ku Klux Klan members involved in the 1963 bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, that killed four girls between the ages of 11 and 14. Senator Doug Jones, welcome to Democracy Now! If you could first respond to your former opponent, Tuberville beat you for the Senate seat that you held, talking about responding to the issue of the Pentagon Secretary Lloyd Austin trying to rout out white supremacists in the military.
Well, I think it's absolutely outrageous what he's saying. It's deplorable. You know, he talks about the fact that Democrats are attacking the military. No, Democrats are not attacking the military. We're actually supporting the military. It is Senator Tuberville who is attacking the military and all of their policies, whether it is holding up nominations for promotions, which affects readiness and morale, or attacking the policies that the administration is trying to do to kind of weed out these white nationalists, these white supremacists. You know, you only have to look at what happened in Boston recently, where a young National Guardsman leaked classified information, and now we're learning he's the very kind of person that the administration is trying to weed out of there. It makes no sense whatsoever what Senator Tuberville says, and is purely a political ploy attacking the administration at every turn.
When asked about white nationalists, he said he calls them Americans. You have a long, illustrious civil rights history. You put two members of the Ku Klux Klan behind bars for the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in 1963. The bombing happened. Can you talk about what white nationalism means and what he's saying?
Sure. You know, look, they may be American citizens, but they're dang sure not patriots. These are not people that support the government of the United States. They support themselves. They support only the white nationalists that they are. They don't support a diverse society. They don't support a diverse America. And if you look at what's happening, just look at the Patriot Front guys who marched around the Capitol just recently. They are hell-bent on trying to make this a purely white country. And totally not recognizing what's going on in this country and how supportive this country is of the diversity that we see. And that's the real problem. They will resort to violence. They will resort to subversion of the United States, if possible, in order to get the kind of country they, in their mind, think is appropriate. And that is a real problem in the United States military. It's a problem in law enforcement across this country. And we have to make sure that we do everything necessarily to get those people out of the chain of command, out of the military, so that we can protect all Americans and protect our national security.
During a March 28th hearing with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, Senator Tuberville was quoted saying, quote, "War is hell. You know that better than anybody. Every recruit should know that. But in the last few years, we've put them through a different kind of hell. In one of your first acts, Mr. Secretary, you put our military, every single member, active duty and reserve, through a mandatory training to root out extremists." Tuberville was clearly disparaging this. Your response, Senator Jones?
It's just hard to respond to just stupid statements like that. I mean, that's the only way that you can describe that kind of reaction to the United States military. To think that we should not be rooting out extremism on either side, by the way. It doesn't matter that whether if it's extremism on the right or extremism on the left, that is dangerous to the United States military, to morale, to the chain of command, to our national security. And yes, war is hell. Everything is difficult when the military. That is exactly why you have to have a disciplined military, not people that are going to go off like this guy did and provide classified information to his buddies online. You've got to have that discipline, and you cannot have that discipline if you have extremes on either side. You know, this is not an old John Wayne movie. Where you've got that kind of war as hell. This is a very diverse military. It has people of all races, all religions. It has I think roughly 20-25% are now women. And the military brass, the leaders of our military, have to protect all of our servicemen and women. And they have to do it in a way that recognizes the differences we have, but at the same time, being able to watch the chain of command and keep that in line. That is what is most important. And the extremism that Senator Tuberville is complaining that there's being rooted out needs to be rooted out.
I want to continue on this issue of white supremacists. In addition to Senator Jones, we're joined by Michael Edison Hayden, senior investigative reporter with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is based in Alabama, where he focuses on far-right extremism. He's joining us from New York City. Michael, thanks for joining us again. A report you helped author last year said, quote, "Roughly one in five applicants to the white supremacist group Patriot Front claim to hold current or former military status, according to leaked documents reviewed by Hate Watch." Explain, and also put this in the context of Senator Tuberville's comments.
Well, yeah, I mean, Senator Tuberville is correct in saying that these folks are Americans, and America has a very serious problem with radical right extremism, as evidenced by all the violence that we've seen in recent years, all the different times I've come on your show to talk about it. So, people with military backgrounds are heavily sought after by extremist groups like Patriot Front. partly because they have a knowledge of, you know, how to operate in these kind of urgent situations. Think about January 6th, although Patriot Front was not involved there. And the degree to which military training could be advantageous to folks in the Proud Boys or Oath Keepers. Right, so there's a technical understanding of things that they understand. And there's also the fact that we don't treat our veterans particularly well in this country, which, you know, allows extremist groups to feed off of potential resentment or feelings of frustration and makes those folks good recruits.
I wanted to go back to Doug Jones and talk about Tuberville's role right now in saying that over 200 Department of Defense promotions are being blocked. They're being blocked by one senator, by Senator Tuberville, who's demanding the Pentagon change its abortion policy for service members and dependents, which the Biden administration has supported since last October. Explain how it's possible that one senator, Senator Tuberville, can block the actions of the entire Senate. What's the procedure used? And talk about what he's doing it for.
Well, first of all, I think he's doing it for because he's fighting culture wars. He accuses Democrats and others of politicizing the military, but yet he is the one politicizing the military. He is the one that is blocking promotions of military across the services because of the culture war issue over the abortion policy that the Department of Defense has to protect women in the military. So what he's doing is that he cannot completely block a nomination. And a lot of people don't realize that military promotions at certain ranks have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. And what he's doing is he's preventing those from being considered in blocks, literally, you know, maybe 100 or 200 at a time, where promotions can be moved through the Senate very quickly and very efficiently. That is always a nonpartisan issue. That is something that is done routinely to give deference to the military, to give deference to the administration. He has decided not to do that and to require the Senate to take up every nomination, every promotion, one at a time, which requires the Senate rules have a number of hours. It will delay work in the Senate. It will delay the military. And it has a ripple effect through the chain of command, because these servicemen and women that are in line for the promotions, their entire careers are on hold, and those behind them that are set to fill the positions that they're being left vacant are also on hold. This is really devastating to morale, again, to the chain of command, and ultimately national security and our readiness. And it shows a fundamental misunderstanding about the nature of the military, the nature of service to this country, and what people are looking for when they decide to go into the military as a career. It is really outrageous what he's doing in the Senate.
At the same time, Michael Edison Hayden, we have the massacre in Allen, Texas, where the gunman who killed 8 people and injured 10 was influenced by neo-Nazi and white supremacist ideology. You have the march by the Patriot Front on the National Mall this weekend. And you have jury selection in the trial of Robert Bowers, the 50-year-old man who killed 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Can you put this all together at this point? And then I have a final question for the senator.
Sure. You know, Senator Tuberville's comments speak to the deep, deep denial in this country of what is happening as far as radical right extremism is concerned. You know, I mean, we have people being murdered on a semi-regular basis now. If you go back to the Tree of Life terror attack in October of 2018, then you have like El Paso, for example, in the summer of 2019. You have the attack in Colorado Springs focused on the LGBTQ community, and then you have, of course, what happened in Allen, Texas, and there's some in between. This type of thing keeps happening, just as we have this problem with, we have this problem with radicalization in the military, which we've been warning about going back to the mid-80s, without enough of a response. We had, for example, in the 90s, we had Timothy McVeigh. These things keep being brought up, these issues of violence and racism. These are core problems, you know, in American life. They go to the real struggles to be American and to keep people safe. Now, think about the fact that we have over 700 Confederate symbols on military bases, and we have Black people serving throughout the military. So these are core problems, and the denial in this country is really deep, and it has to change.
And you have Fort Benning just changing its name to Fort Moore. But I want to end with Doug Jones on a note of history. You have repeatedly said that perhaps the most important thing you've ever done as U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama was to prosecute the Klansmen who killed the four little girls in Birmingham, Alabama, when they blew up the church. We're approaching the 60th anniversary of that tragedy in September. Talk about the case in fighting white supremacist violence then, your role in convicting Thomas Blanton and Bobby Frank Cherry, and where you think we stand today, 60 years later.
Well, I appreciate you asking that question, because it is something that has been very important to me, to Alabama, to this country, that we recognize that one of the most horrific civil rights crimes in the history of this country, a civil rights crime that really, I do believe, changed the course of civil rights history. And we use the term woke these days, but in fact, that bombing really awakened America to the tragedies of and the horrifics of Jim Crow. And the fact that you had so much racial violence in the 50s and 60s. And what concerns me now is that we are forgetting that. We haven't looked back and learned the lessons of history and the tragedies of history that I think we should have. And in fact, the similarities that I see today is the rhetoric of politicians. In those days, it was Bull Connor, the racist police commissioner. It was governors like George Wallace and Ross Barnett who stoked anger and stoked hatred and stoked violence with their dog whistle type politics. And I think what we're seeing now is something very, very similar. You see that across the board, where it's particularly kind of this the MAGA-rite Republicans that seem to want to instill violence and hatred, support for people who violate the law and attack others. That's a real danger, and it goes beyond just black and white now. It gets into religion. It goes to the Hispanic community. It goes to the Muslim community. We are a much more diverse society than we were in the 1960s, 1963, when this bomb exploded, killing those four young girls. And I think we have to celebrate this diversity, but instead, what we're seeing is the hate and the violence spreading its wings to all races, all ethnic groups, all religions. And that is that white nationalist philosophy that Tuberville thinks apparently is okay in the military, okay in our law enforcement, and apparently okay in this country. Well, it's not. It's not. And we have to work very, very hard, remember the lessons of the past, and work very hard to root that out.
Doug Jones, I want to thank you very much for being with us, former Democratic senator for Alabama, speaking to us from Washington, D.C., and Michael Edison Hayden, senior investigative reporter with the Alabama-based Southern Poverty Law Center. Next up, we turn from extremism in the military and in the Senate to a neo-Nazi in the offices of Congress. Stay with us.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Sometimes I throw off a good one. At least I think it is.
Randy Newman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.